السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا، فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين بالقسط، يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله ولو على أنفسكم أو الوالدين والأقربين. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله. My noble audience, inshallah, from today onwards, by the grace and by the will of Allah Almighty, we will speak about different akhlaqs, different khuluqs. Alhamdulillah, we have established our base in the last couple of months pertaining to akhlaq. Now we will select a khuluq, a ethic, and inshallah we will try to discuss it to the best of our ability in a style, in a way that will benefit each one of us. The first khuluq that we will discuss is honesty. That is the first khuluq. This is the first khuluq that we will discuss, and I would like my noble audience to try to remember certain points, important points pertaining to the lectures to come. It will assist us to be better people. It will assist us to be better believers as well. As I made mention, a person cannot attain perfection in the court of Allah Almighty if he has not attained perfection in akhlaq. So the first khuluq that we will discuss is honesty. I recited a verse from the glorious Quran that will be our principal verse pertaining to honesty. The verse is from Surah An-Nisa, Surah number 4, verse 135, in which Allah Almighty says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ. That, O believers, stand firmly for justice. O believers, stand firmly for justice. شُهَدَى عَلِ اللَّهِ, as witnesses to Allah. Now, the stipulation of standing for justice has been highlighted in the next part of the verse that demands a very high level of sacrifice. Allah Almighty says, وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ, even though this justice be against yourself, that you speak the truth even if you find that this truth is going to harm you. وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ, even though it be against your parents. وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ, or your kin. So Allah Almighty makes mention of three personalities as a profound commentary to being just, and that is being just against yourself, being just when it comes to your parents, and being just when it is pertaining to your family members. Now, this is the principal ayat that we will use for the lecture 1, 2 or 3 that we will construct upon. Now, there is a principal hadith as well. There is a principal hadith that we will use as well that has been recorded by Imam Bukhari on the strength of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala. Now, as we have made mention many a times before, amongst the Sahaba, not every Sahabi was a scholar. Not every Sahabi was a Mufti. Indeed, all were noble. All were radiyallahu anhum wa radu an, and they attained success before departure. But not all were scholars. Amongst the large group of Sahaba, according to the scholars, there are three that are known for their knowledge. They had attained perfection in knowledge. And together they are known as Ibadullah, the servants of Allah. And one of the three is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Namely, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Abbas. Rizwanullahi alayhim ajma'een. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is the one that has captured this statement from the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that will be the principal hadith pertaining to honesty. And it is used as the principal hadith pertaining to honesty. The statement is profound. Nabi Akareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, alaykum bis sidq, alaykum bis sidq, فَإِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِرِّ وَإِنَّ الْبِرِّ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَمَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلُ يَصْدُقُ وَيَتَحَرَّى الصِّدْقَ حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ صِدِّيقًا. Now this is first half of the narrative that is most connected to the topic that we are discussing. Nabi Akareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, عَلَيْكُمْ بِالصِّدْقِ, I enjoin to you to be truthful. I order you to be truthful. فَإِنَّ الصِّدْقِ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِرِّ, because truthfulness leads to piety. Truthfulness leads to piety. I will halt. I will pause here so we can understand how does صِدْق guide a person to piety. We hear this many a times, we pass through the statement, but we need to apply the statement to something that is relative. For example, one person says that if you take a certain diet, it will lead you to health. A person goes to the nutritionist, he goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, look, you are slightly overweight, and you need to cut down certain foods. You need to bring a change in your life. If you do, it will lead you to health. So this person, he respects what the doctor says, and he starts to make changes in his life, and slowly and gradually he finds that his condition, his health has improved. On the same pattern, we keep in mind that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying that if a person, he speaks the truth, because it is a blanket term that we will discuss. Truthfulness is not only truthfulness of the speech, it is a blanket term. So when we understand truthfulness in the light of the Quran and the Hadith, it demands a very high level of effort. But anyway, if a person is truthful according to the standards set by the Quran and the Hadith, it will certainly lead him to piety. And if a person finds himself at the station of piety, then this piety, that in Arabic terminology is known as taqwa, it is known as birr. Allah Almighty speaks about al-birr in detail in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 177. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وَجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِكِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. Go back home, study the verse, and you will come to know there are many different characteristics, many different a'mal saliha that Allah has highlighted in this very lengthy verse, that in reality is a description of al-birr, piety. But if we want to encapsulate in al-birr, we can encapsulate birr in the word at-taqwa. And as we know that the Quran in many, many places has made mention of the reward that follows the attainment of taqwa, and that is inna lilmuttaqina mafaza. It is success. So Nabi Akrim Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says truthfulness leads to birr, to piety, to righteousness. Wa innal birr yahdi ila al-jannah, and piety, birr leads to jannah. Wa ma yazalu ar-rajul. Now this is another demand that the narrative has made, another demand. We cannot switch off. We cannot switch off from beautifying ourselves with honesty and siddiq, that I am siddiq today and I switch off tomorrow, then I activate myself the following week, then I switch off. No, then this person will not be recorded as siddiq. If he wants to reap the reward that has been highlighted in this statement, he has to fulfill the condition وَمَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلُ يَسْتُقُ. He has to continually speak the truth. He will be challenged. Many a times it will be very, very difficult. Many a times he will find himself that if he speaks the truth, in the short term he may lose something. He through his understanding, has a understanding that if I do speak the truth, I will be disgraced. Now you can create any scenario that you want. You may have been in that scenario in the past. But the hadith has very explicitly made mention, وَمَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلْ يَسْتُقْ. You have to continually speak the truth. وَيَتَحَرَّ الصِّدْقِ, and endeavor to speak the truth. Because speaking the truth, according to simple terms, is swimming against the flow. It is easy to swim with the flow. There's no resistance. There's no challenge. When we used to swim in the river in Pakistan, you can swim for miles and miles. Just tread the water and the water pushes you. You don't exert yourself. But if we wanted to really feel the workout, we used to challenge each other, let's swim against the flow. And that was very, very challenging. You couldn't swim against the flow. You push yourself for a couple of minutes and it's all over. You have exerted yourself. But if you swim with the flow, you're not exerting yourself. وَيَتَحَرَّ الصِّدْقِ, and endeavor to speak the truth. Now, the conditions are mighty, but let me tell you something. Allah will never ever place an injunction upon your broad, beautiful, mighty, strong shoulders that you cannot hold. One of the problems that we are facing is we have not realized our capacity. We have not understood our capacity. We have not understood how close Allah is for us. And He's ready to assist us. قدم تو اٹھاؤ. Take that step towards Allah and you will find that everything will fall into place. No hukam of Allah, my dear youngsters, my brothers and sisters, is beyond our capacity. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not charge a person beyond his capacity. You have mighty capacity. Allah will not give His most favorable gift to you if you could not fulfill it. That is Iman, that is Islam. Allah has given it to each one of us. So we are first of all so dear in the eyes of Allah Almighty. So dear. We do not realize that. And we have hidden talents. We have capacity. Many a times we feel and taste that capacity. When we are pushed to a corner, Allahu Akbar, we bounce with such a high level of ibadat.
We wake up in the night. We don't miss the prayer. We lower our gaze. But the only problem that we face is that we switch off. It's not that we do not experience it. We do experience that high level of commitment, of birr, of at-taqwa, but we switch off. If we can switch on and keep that button on, we become the most beloved in the eyes of Allah. Do it. You can do it. You know the Nike logo? They said, just do it. The Nike logo? Just do it. They make shoes. They say, wear the shoes and just do it. You can run 100 miles per hour. Just do it. By giving Islam to us, we should keep in mind we can do it. Nothing is beyond us. Allah has made this entire kainat, this entire universe for us. Large and small, visible, invisible, tangible, non-tangible, everything is for us. How great are we? How important are we in this mighty machine, in this mighty karkhana? How important are we? Why can't we fulfill the command of Allah? So, وَمَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلُ يَصْدُقُ وَيَتَحَرَّ الصِّدْقُ. He has to continually speak the truth and endeavor to speak the truth. If we drop the endeavor, the mehnat, if we drop the mehnat, then we cannot achieve our goal. We cannot. That's why Allah Almighty in Surah Balad has used the word fi kabad. Allah has created us in toil. Hum to mehnat ke liye paida kiya hai. We have been created in toil. Our arrival in this world demanded such a toil. Ask our noble mothers the endeavor she had to go through to bring us into this dunya. Such a high endeavor. All other animals, if you look at them, they emerge in this dunya and immediately they take care of themselves. And if not immediately, in a very short time they're taking care of themselves, they're walking. They know who their friend is, who their enemy is. Out of all the species, we are the most intelligent species. But we are useless for the first 2 years. 2 years. Can't do nothing. We need our father to be there. We need our mother to be there. We need our siblings to be there for 2 long years. What a toil. Mother has to sacrifice her sleep. The father has to sacrifice his sleep. Badiyan lagi hui hai raat ko. One day the father, one day the mother. What a toil. Kitni mehnat. And there are stages in the human life that we have to exert ourselves. Nothing comes free. Nothing is free. Allah Almighty has said it. This is a topic in itself. The word fi kabad, you have been created in toil. Mehnat. So wayataharra sidq, endeavor to be truthful. Have to try. Don't be shy to try. Don't be shy to try. Try. You take that first step and you will find that Allah will propel you. Not to the next step. He will propel you to the next stage. You take the first step, Allah will not push you to the next step. He will propel you to the next stage. Allah wants you to find Him. Allah wants you to find Him. So why would He make that path hard for us? It is easy, but it is a matter of remaining committed. Not to switch off. وَيَتَحَرَّ الصِّدْقِ. And then the statement, حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ صِدِّيقًا. Until this person is recorded as Siddiq. Now let me give you understanding of this fragment of the narration. It's a mighty statement that the Nabi of Allah has made.
Hatta yuktab عند الله صديقا,
until he has been recorded as Siddiq. Recorded where? In your book or my book? No, in the book of Allah Almighty, that is not erased. You make an effort, you show that effort, you do not switch off, and then Allah writes you down that he is Siddiq. Then Allah will guide you to remain as Siddiq. So this وَمَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلُ, continuously trying to be truthful and honest, is a selected time. Once you reach that time, then Allah writes you down as Siddiq, then Allah will not allow you to lie. Allah will guide you to be honest. He will create an environment around you where you will be honest. Many a times people say that, I want to commit a crime, but I can't. So what do you mean? He said, the people around me, I feel shy of them. He's not shy of Allah, he's shy of the people. That is a blessing in disguise as well. He can't commit the crime. Allah has created an environment around him that he cannot fulfill his negative vibes. Make that effort. Reach that stage. You go to these gyms, you pass these gyms, and what do they have? 3 month challenge. You come in, you follow the diet that we give, you follow the exercise that we give, you will see the results. But what happens is, a person pulls out 2 months into the program, he doesn't see the results. He pulls out 1 week before the program completes, doesn't see the results. There is a stage where Allah wants us to make it to. We can't see that stage. But let me tell you something. Every day that passes on this path is easier than the day that has passed. You remember that? Because the assistance, the mother, the nusrat of Allah is descended. Every day, let's say we start from here and we take one step. This step is the hardest step. The second step to the third step will be easier compared to the first step. And every day it will become easier because you are pushing yourself closer to Allah. And the closer you become to Allah, you become a person of taqwa. You start to taste the benefits and the rewards of that taqwa, that piety, that righteousness. And then you reach that stage and it is impossible for a person to make a U-turn because Allah has written him down as Siddiq. Deen mushkil nahi hai. The implementation of deen is not hard. Let's create that environment around us. Create that environment. Create that environment around us. Allahu Akbar Kabira. I was talking about honesty, my mind has gone somewhere else. But most of the times when people give talks, the talk is guided by Allah for the benefit of the people. Nowadays, speaking to the youth on and off, and speaking to many, many people, because being in that position, come to know that people really, really focus upon their actions. Focus upon, let me say, their bad actions. And this focusing upon the bad action continuously demoralizes a human being. It does not allow him to go one step further. There's no insan other than the Anbiya that does not break the hukum of Allah. We are all going to break the hukum of Allah somewhere down the line. We are going to do that. Sometimes a person, many a times I hear people saying that the salah that I pray, what is the condition of this salah? You know, I'm praying and my mind is somewhere else. Indeed, it is a problem. But still you are praying. In that 4 or 5 minutes, you could have been somewhere else and you could commit yourself to even a mightier crime. At least 4 or 5 minutes, you are in the presence of Allah Almighty. At the end of the day, whatever we do, it is not good enough in the court of Allah. Keep this in mind. Whatever we present, it is not good enough in the court of Allah, because the azmat of Allah has no limit. And whatever we present has a limitation. It is the grace of Allah Almighty that He accepts whatever we send. Whatever you can send. I say, even at night time, the scholars have said, you wake up to go to the bathroom. There's an urge to urinate or defecate, and you go to the bathroom. Come back, put your head on the pillow and say, Ya Rabbi Filli, three times. You'll get reward for that as well. That will be your tahajjud. Do something. You can't read the two rakat, just say, Ya Rabbi Filli. Maybe on the second Ya Rabbi Filli, you're gone. But at least you remembered Allah. Do something. Don't take a back step. Always be on that front foot. Even in cricket that I play, they say a good batsman is the one that plays on the front foot. Front foot. He defends the ball very well. Be on the front foot. Don't allow the shaitan and all these scruples and doubts in your mind push you to the back foot. You're on the back foot, you have lost your ground. You need to be on the front foot to gain ground. That's what life is about, gaining the ground. So Maulana Rumi rahimahullah makes mention of something amazing, and I'll conclude on that. He says there were two friends, very close. Later on, one friend becomes the king of the country. The other friend, he remains as an average person in the village. So one day, the average person, he says to his wife that, I would like to go and visit my friend. I said, all right. But he's the king of the country. First of all, I feel shy. But he's my friend, I should go and visit him. But you never ever go into the court of a king empty-handed. So I'd like to take something. So now he discusses with his wife, what should I take? So they're both thinking. And at the end, they come to this, that we should take fresh water from the well of the village. Because you don't find fresh water in the city. You know, in Pakistan where I was studying, we used to go and get desi ghee from the village. Desi ghee. Because it was fresh, it was pure. You used to go and get milk from the village. Because the milk in the city is half water, half milk. You go in the city and they got, this milk is $10, this milk is $15, this milk is $20. You say, why? He says, there's less water in this, there's more. They're very truthful, Siddiq. They speak the truth. They say, less water, more water, more water, 10, 15, 20. So when you want something pure, you go to the village. Even Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for his tarbiyah, he went to the tribe of Sa'd. He left Makkatul Mukarrama. He went to the tribe of Sa'd. And he was nurtured by Halima Sa'diya radiallahu ta'ala anha. Anyway, so he said that we should take fresh water. So they said, all right. And in the old days, they used to have clay pots. And we've seen those clay pots. So when there was no fridge, they used to have these clay pots. Beautiful water. You keep the water in there, and then it was beautiful. It was cold. It was cool. It was like that you have just pulled it out of the fridge. So he covered the clay pot, and he put it on his shoulders, and he started to walk towards the city. Now the journey was taxing. The journey was very long. He made it to the king's court after substantial time. He knocks on the door, and the caretaker says, who are you? He says, I'm the friend of the king, and I have come to visit my friend. What's your name? My name is so-and-so. So the guard goes inside. He informs the king. The king is over the moon. He says, quickly bring him inside. He brings him inside, and they hug each other. And then this friend says, Your Highness, my friend, I have brought you a gift from my village. He said, sure. He said, what is that? He said, this pot of water. He said, sure. So throughout the journey, the pot had been covered by dust. So he put the pot down, he removed the top lid, and there was dust. When he removed the lid, there was a stench in the water because it had rotten. So there was a stench in the water. So the king, without frowning, without expressing his dislike, he said, "Marhaba, mashallah, you brought a beautiful gift. Allah reward you." And he takes the gift, and then he tells his noker, his servant, that fill this pot with gold coins and bring it back. So he fills that pot with gold coins and he brings it back, and he says to him that you brought me such a beautiful gift. In lieu, in return of that gift, I give you this. So his friend was over the moon. So he thought that this gift is something, you know, the gift that I have brought. Most probably the king doesn't have fresh water in this country. That's why he gave me a pot of gold coins. Anyway, they spoke and they discussed and they spoke about the past. And when it was time to go, the friend said, "I need to go." So the king said, "All right." And he told his servant, "Take my friend from the back street across the city to the river where there is fresh water." So there was a river there. So he was oblivious to this. So the servant took him, and when they came across that river, he saw that the water was crystal clear. It was crystal clear. He had never seen water like that before. He took his hands, he put it in, and he pulled it out, and he drank the water. It was even sweeter than the water that he brought from his village. Then he thought that the gift that I brought was not good enough, but it was the generosity of the king that was on display. So Maulana Rumi rahimahullah says, whatever we give in the court of Allah, it has a stench. But Allah, we focus upon our Creator, not upon what we present. And that's why I say, and my theme of talks revolves around not being judgmental. That is going to destroy you. If you are focusing upon what you are doing, that is going to destroy you. Do the best that you can do, but at the end of the day, it has a stench. But we are presented it in the court of Allah, who will accept whatever you send, because you made the effort. أَنِّي لَا أُضِيعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنْكُمْ مِّنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى. And then Allah in return will reward us. He will reward us in a manner, in a fashion, in a style that is beyond our comprehension. So keep in mind, وَمَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلُ. Never ever switch off. Even if the light is dim, you still can see. It is not glowing full capacity, it is dim, still you can see. Don't switch it off completely, where there is complete darkness. Stay at some level of commitment. If you cannot stay at the highest level of commitment, stay at some level. Even if it is dim, the misbah, you will see something. If I turn off all the lights and keep one on, I will still see these beautiful faces. May not see them as I see them now, glowing and bright, but I will still see you or recognize you. If you can keep all the lights on, alhamdulillah. And if you can keep it on for a long time, alhamdulillah. And if you can't keep it on for a long time and they are switched off, just switch it off to such a level that at least you can see something. Don't disconnect from Allah completely, because it takes that much more time to connect with Allah again. Remember that. That's the problem. If one person is going to the gym 5 times a day, let's say 5 times a week, and that's his program, 5 times a week he goes, and then he stops, completely stops, then to get back into the gym becomes very hard. But if he's going 1 or 2 days, he can increase it. And that's the concept behind the fasting, that the month of Ramadan is 29 or 30 days. But Nabi Akram said we should fast every Monday and Thursday. Why? So we remain in the rhythm. Because if you completely switch off for 11 months and then you find yourself at the door of Ramadan and you have to fast for 29 or 30 days, you go, whoa, it is a big change in your life because you haven't been fasting. So Islam says remain in the theater of fasting. May not be 29 or 30 days, a continuous week, a continuous 2 weeks, but at least Monday and Thursday, 2 days a week, so it becomes easy for you. You are in the rhythm. It's a matter of just increasing. It's not a matter of enrolling. Don't enroll yourself. Increase it. Decrease it. Increase it. Decrease it. Of course, a lot of people are going to say, what about the istiqamah? We'll speak about that another time. But don't switch it off completely. Allow that connection to be there at all times. Can we do that? Allah give us tawfiq. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.